a few outlines left from previous evening. It's a continuation lesson this evening. In fact, this is the third, and we'll close it out this evening, Lord willing. So, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and also Corinthians, three chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapters 8, 9, and 10, deal with situations where we have differing opinions, and opinions are right. It's not, it doesn't have to do with sound doctrine, we say. So in these illustrations that the Apostle Paul presents before us, one says he eats meat, the other does not eat meat. And we have to get along with those two really opposing views. Another one he presents is the observance of days. And then also in 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, he deals with meat that's been offered to idols. Some said that was okay, but then others were offended by that. So with those differing views, and remember, both are acceptable. If you don't understand that, we're going to have difficulty understanding the phrases or the terminology that Paul uses. So and I've already given you two pages of notes, and I've titled the main section, these biblical principles that are set forth in Romans chapter 14. And I've just listed 10. You could probably make more out of those 23 verses. But I just highlighted 10 areas for our discussion. So let's take and we're already all through it, giving you illustrations. We've read the text, giving you a rather lengthy introduction. We are on point number 4 of the biblical principles that we'll try to close out this evening. But let's go back just very, very briefly. Principle number 1 was in verse 3. Let not him that eat despise him that eats not. So he takes one and says, don't despise the other. Point number 2, he takes the other and says, don't despise that other. So he deals in points 1 and 2 on both sides. The one who eats meat, don't despise the vegetarian. The vegetarian, don't despise the one who eats meat. In the text. Number 3, in verse 5, he says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I kind of put in your nose, very seldom do we see the other person's point of view, but that's what we need to do. As long as it doesn't violate God's requirements, and that's the context of our lesson the last 3 Sunday evenings, things that do not violate the commandments of God. So now we are on point number 4, and I put in a rather large section here, verses 6 through 12. We've already read the text. So in verses 6 through 12, in summary, realize that each belief is based upon one's relationship to God. It's in verse 6. So realize again, because I didn't put my major principle, the one who eats meat and the one who does not is based on his relationship to God. In verse 6, observe it to the Lord. Okay, that's good. You observe the days, you do it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. Both sides again. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, whether you observe the day or don't eat, observe the day. Can't we just all get along? So then he goes on to he who eats. So remember in this chapter, concerned about that which is right and about doing God's will, even though I have differing views. Then the individual responsibility is noted, and Paul says, judgment seat of Christ. Remember, we're going to talk about each individual here. Each of us shall give account of himself to God. So point number 4 is just simply realize in these opinions, views, whether you're meat eater or not meat eater, whether you want to eat the meat offered to idols or don't want to eat the meat, or whether you observe a day or don't observe the day. You know, each one is, still has a relationship with God. Number five, in verse 13, the principle is don't put a stumbling block in your brother's way. Doesn't matter whether you're the strong or the weak. Just don't put a stumbling block in your brother's way. He's not addressing one person more than the other one. It's all of us. It's in verse 13. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this: not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Well, there's a principle. And considering, he said back in verse 7, none of us lives to himself and none dies to himself. So there has to be a consideration of one another when we have these differing points of view. Remember, it's not, we're not talking about doctrine. You'll be in trouble if you apply these principles to doctrine. Then you can believe anything you want. So we are to be cautious in our treatment of one another. Stumbling block, you know, that's something where you cause somebody to fall or you stop the spiritual progress of another, the forward progress of another. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8, Paul said, food does not commend us to God. Food does not. And Paul had continues the thought. For neither, we've got two people with differing points of views. I eat meat, and one said, no, I'm vegetarian only. Can we still get along? Food does not commend us to God. But now this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So we have to be cautious. So I don't want to demand, or if I make a demand of my freedom, I might become a hindrance to the faith of another. So I just have to walk cautiously. Even though I'm okay and you're okay. So don't put a stumbling block in front of the other. Number six, in verse 15, walk in love or charity. It's in verse 15. Walk in love or charity. He says, so yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Don't destroy with your food for the one for whom Christ died. So I got the attitude of love is a motivating factor for our actions. Loving one another. By definition, when I speak of love, and even in this text, when we love each other, we want to seek the best for the other. Characteristics of love. But in each of these, it's simply, how can I help you? What do you need? Let me get that for you. It's seeking the best for the other. Remember, it works both ways. Both sides are to walk in love and charity. So we need to remember, even if we think the other person's position is not reasonable, we don't want to destroy a fellowship over such matters as food. And the context of Paul's discussion is over matters that don't carry eternal consequences. I just have a personal opinion that I'm going to eat meat. So my brother here has a very strong conviction. No, for whatever reason, could be health reasons, could belong to PETA. You know, so we don't. Whatever the motivation is, convictions that are not matters of salvation. You know, even think about. The time we meet for worship. Somebody said, you know, I just like to sleep late. We should start at 11 o'clock for our worship assembly. No, I'm an early riser. I want to get this worship over with. I'm going to have the rest of the day. We should meet at 8:30. Well, we have differing views. How are we going to get along? Shall we divide? Yes, two services. Shall we divide? Church of Christ, 8:30 fellowship? Group? We have to get along. What about the order of worship? We have prayer, two songs and a prayer. Some congregations have the Lord's Supper before the sermon, some have it after the sermon. Can we get along? Are they my brethren? Because they don't have the same worship assembly. Some leaderships will ask that. of those who lead in worship. If the brethren follow along with that, I'm not going to rally against them. We walk in love. And certainly brethren have their issues. We talked a couple of weeks ago about those brethren with the one cup. Those who oppose Bible classes, individual Bible classes, there's congregations like that. Those who will not eat in the building. You know, supporting missionaries, there was a big divide over that a little over 100 years ago. You know, about the use of the building. So I think we should restrict it to this or that. I mentioned last week about the picture above the behind the baptistry. You know, some people don't want a picture there. Having a cross or a steeple on our church building. What about the words we use at the baptism? When I was growing up, every time a preacher was done baptized, somebody always held his hand up like this when he gave the words. I don't know why. Maybe he thought that was just, for him, that was just the thing to do. Well, so I don't hold my hand up like that. I give a few words, you know, at the baptism. Somebody says, how do you know what to say to baptism? There's no formula in the Bible except for the Great Commission. We use those words, and I repeat those words from the Great Commission for the sake of the one that's being baptized and for those who are listening. Just to remind the one who's being baptized why they're being baptized. So it's just practical. But if you want to pin somebody down, say, there's no ceremony biblically. Or formula or ritual. Just not there. But if somebody has a strong conviction about it, if you want me to hold my hand up, I'll hold my hand up. When I say the words, you are now being baptized for the remission of your sins, you'll rise to walk in newness of life. Walk in love. We still get along. Love helps us to deal with clashes of our personal convictions. It helps us to maintain peace, pride, for the sake of unity, as Paul is in the text here, with our differences. Number 7, verses 16 through 18. Don't allow what you believe to become something evil is the principle. It's in verse 16. Interesting phrase. Therefore, do not let your good. Okay. Remember, both people are good. Both sides are good. Not just one side or the other. But don't let your good be spoken of as evil. I think, in other words, he's saying, you know, the negative voice doesn't always get their way. Both are received by God. We went through that in earlier verses of the text. Each must be taught to receive the other. There's an implication, I think, in the chapter that the weaker brother is not to remain weak. Chapter tells us what to do while they are weak, and the one who is weak is to grow strong. We have to be taught, and part of that teaching is for us to get along together when we have differing points of view over matters of opinion. You keep saying that. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there is an expectation of one who is weak to become strong. To grow. And when opinions are pushed, people react, don't they? And sometimes disunity and severing of relationships may be the result, so we need to sing it over and over again. You know, I'm okay and you're okay too. In matters of opinion, I don't say that again. I'm not talking about sound doctrine. Paul reminds us that what's important in the kingdom is not eating and drinking. Rather, the kingdom is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 is priority. Here's the results. First of all, Christ is served. And second, each is acceptable to God. And then number 3, each is approved of. It's in verse 18. Remember years and years ago, any of us who've been around for a while remember Pam's dad, Palmer Wilson. And we'd have our business meetings. there may be some, something comes up and we need to put, we'll put it to a vote, so to speak, or who is in favor of doing something this way or the other way. Palmer would always say, or in some words of this fashion, he says, "I'll go along with the, whatever the majority says, but I just want to have my say." Point of view. But all he wants in this meeting, for the sake of unity, he says, "Can I just express my view? But if the majority want to go this direction," he says, "for the sake of unity, I'm not going to cause dissent. Walk in love." So don't allow what you believe become something evil. It's both are good. Number eight, I need to move along. Pursue peace and edification. It's in verse 19. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which we may edify another." He's talking to both of us. Both of us, the meat eaters and the vegetarians. And he says, "I want you to pursue peace." In other words, if you're going to pursue something, you run after it, you seek it, you dog it, you hound it, you go in search of it. You're going to pursue peace. Even though my view is different from yours, pursue peace over matters that don't make any difference. Things which edify. We're pursuing, we're chasing after things that build up, that uplift, that improve, that give spiritual understanding, that instruct, that enlighten. Go after that. That's what he says in verse 19. In Romans 12, a couple chapters earlier in verse 18, he says, "If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Why emphasize those touchy areas where you know that there's going to be gender strife or disagreement? Pursue peace. Number 9 is in verses 20 and 21, don't tear down the work of God. Verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Wow. Don't destroy the work of God over food. He continues in verse 20, "All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. So it's good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." It's kind of hard to imagine people destroying the church or the work of God over such matters as food. Perhaps most of us think that whatever we believe is doctrine, and so sometimes a church may split and reason that, we had doctrinal differences. Well, some are doctrinal differences, but not whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater. That's not a doctrinal difference. Paul lays the obligation of unity on the shoulders of each of us, or all of us. So one of us or both of us need to be willing to give up certain practices if they are offensive to a brother that would cause him to stumble. But we all need to be taught, and that's what this lesson is for. Is it okay to be a meat eater? We're teaching now, instruction. You have to shake your head this way. Is it okay to be a vegetarian? Shake your head this way. Yes, it is. We need to be taught, and taught that these two opposing points of view can live together and worship together. The last one, number 10, in verses 22 to 23, I kind of just titled it, "Keep Your Disruptive Opinions to Yourself." Well, it's in the verse, in a sense, Verse 22, "Do you have faith?" What that means is, do I have faith that it's okay to be a meat eater? Yes, that's my faith. That's my vegetarian. That's your faith. That's your personal conviction. Very strong on it. I have my reasons for on both sides. Let's keep reading the verse. Where is it? Okay. Have it to your, because of all these other things, if it's going to be disruptive or stumbling block, no. Have it to yourself before God. You can be a mediator and you can be vegetarian. That's okay. But don't, if it's just going to cause disruption, right there in the verse, have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So I'm a meat eater. I'm very happy to be a meat eater. I'm going to condemn myself for what I'm approving. Someone else, I'm happy being a vegetarian. I'm going to condemn myself because I have an opposing point of view. Be happy. Be happy. But when we discover that we have a difference of belief in a matter, we need to exercise caution in bringing it up for discussion. Have it, well, have it before God. Yeah. And I have my private convictions on things. I do. Over matters of opinion. We would meet earlier if it was up to me. Personal conviction on early. But we don't have to spread them among brethren if and when it stirs up trouble. When he says, happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves, he means the principles in Romans 14 do not give you liberty to practice sinful activities. Just because you approve it, something, and it doesn't condemn you, I feel okay in doing this. Well, this is not giving you liberty to practice what the Bible specifically condemns. It's not the verse. Paul's not talking about that. The warning is our conscience may approve something that God does not. You have yours. No, that's not the context. Everyone should ask themselves, you know, why you believe what you believe. In verse 23, Paul reminds that if you engage in an activity without conviction, in other words, you doubt, then it's not of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin for you. So don't go against your personal convictions. You know, it's okay if I'm a meat eater and I want to eat vegetables, but sometimes the one with the vegetable eater, he's pretty much exclusion. I can be a meat eater, eat meat and vegetables. But someone over here said, no, no, I'm against the red meat. Okay. We can still get along. Don't violate your conscience in that. Whatever, now that's your faith. That's your personal conviction. Do you have, that's the question. Do you have faith? Right there in verse 22. Have it. Have it on matters of opinion. You can be a vegetarian and it would still be acceptable. Personal conviction may change over time with Bible study or discussion or experience or maturity, a lot of things. But if that's your conviction at the moment, then you maintain it. So since we'll kind of close, the idea is, since we haven't reached perfection, Romans chapter 14 and then 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, we need to be more tolerant of one another's personal opinions or differing views. You know, whether your view on diet or your view on observing a day or which study books we use, rather than hinder in our pursuit of the divine standard. So that's the lesson. I know the lesson pretty much Romans chapter 14 would perhaps be better suited for a Bible class where we could have, you know, dialogue perhaps back and forth and maybe questions for clarification. But I just wanted to present this. It took me 3 Sunday nights, but I kind of belabored a few points. But maybe one of these days we'll go back and look at this again. spend more time, especially in the, I only dealt with Romans chapter 14. Because Paul has some other principles in 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, especially concerning that meat that's been offered to idols. Woo! Brethren had trouble with that. So, can't we just all get along over matters of opinion? One of my favorites, and Jim's is too, you don't want to do it again, I know. Shall we? What color carpet shall we have? Wow! Opinions galore! Just choosing a color for... I don't want to add to your list, and I want to give you ideas about something to be more strong about. No, I didn't think about that one. Oh, yeah, I have a strong opinion. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation, a song of invitation. Everyone here is a member of the New Testament Church, Christians, but if you're not, you know, there's a plan, a formula, if you will, or steps to take that the Bible presents. Obviously, you need to hear the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in something you haven't heard? So you have to hear. Then you'll need to believe that. You know, Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want that. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So we want to believe what we hear. And in the words of Jesus, we'll want to repent. You'll turn our life around. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish either. And then you'll want to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Then those are the preliminary steps. When those four things are in place, then you can be baptized and rise to walk in newness of life. Member of the New Testament church. You know, the hope of eternal life. All those spiritual blessings that God has reserved for His children, His family, His church. So we sing a song of encouragement. All of you just want to ask brother for strength or encouragement or a prayer request, we can certainly honor that also.